this country's not going to be saved from the top, because that's where all the rot is. It's too deep. It's going to be saved from the grassroots.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen, to the Crossroads. My name's Bill Archibald, and I'll be presenting a short talk this morning, just generally on what's going on in the world, and perhaps, yeah, some questions for you and some interesting things for you to look at. I might start off today with just an interesting comment by our Federal Treasurer, Mr. Jim Chalmers. He seems to be pretty happy that wages are going up, and you know, it's thanks to him that we've now seen we're better off by, you know, $1,700 a year. Now, poor old Jim's got that sorted out. He's, you know, doing the good thing for us, which is really nice. But I think if you spoke to anybody on the ground, you'd find that costs have gone up by far more than that. And that wages in real terms, I don't know how he gets that, because I don't know too many people have had their wages go up either. Yeah, so the average worker is supposedly going to be better off. But if you go back to 2023, when they first came in, he was saying exactly the same thing, you know, well, the average full-time worker is better off. That was in 2023, and would you believe it, even the ABC had a go at him for it, which is hard to believe, but they did. And the fact check by them said that in real terms, full-time total average weekly earnings fell by 2% over the year to May 2023. And I would suggest that it's exactly the same at this point. He might be up there spruiking about how he's managed to improve wages, but in real terms, when you look at the cost of housing, when you look at the cost of food in the supermarkets even, it's just a nonsense to think that wages have done anything like that. For some people, perhaps, you know, we might have seen that. And maybe if the dichotomy of your income is great enough, it will sway everybody else. We've had an upgrade at the Bureau of Meteorology here in Australia, which is interesting for two reasons. But the first one, which segues straight out of Jim Chalmers there, is probably the rise in wages. Their upgrade was going to cost them about $4 million. Well, it's blown out to a whopping $96 million, which, you know, it's pretty hard to believe you could go that far out without, you know, asking questions. Now, it may be just a bit of a, we want to hide something else, let's put this forward as a bit of an obscuring thing and make people worry about it. That's not what I'm looking at it from, that point of view, because the media always does switch and change when things are going on, and they try to promote something that is of less an impact to us than other things. But in this case, the $4 million blowout into $96 million was largely from a security upgrade, among other things, and a new look software program. It's now difficult to navigate, and the radar map has place names which are difficult to read or non-existent, so people who might be in the Gulf country now having trouble finding where they actually are on the map. And the map colors have changed quite a lot. It's a significant change. The company that did it is called, where are we? Accent, is it? Where are we? Get back up here. Accenture Australia. Now, they are an IT company that does all this sort of work. I just had a bit of a look up to see what was going on and who they were. And there's a number of different names popped up. One of them was interesting. And because we were talking about wages, I thought perhaps, well, here's the CEO of Accenture Australia, which was previous to the current one, Mr. Peter Burns. And I couldn't find out too much about him. But Julie Sweet, who began her CEO-ship in September 2019, and then the chair in 2021. I thought it was interesting that her 2023 income was $1.5 million in salary, which, oh, okay, it's a big company. That's good. That's fine. But all the other interests, all the other things you added into it, all the other costs that she can claim and has done was over $30. So for that 1 year alone, she earned $32 million. If that's the sort of salary they're paying the people at the top of this Accenture IT business, then sort of it's no wonder that it's blown out $4 million to $96 million. I can't see how anyone can justify that. But then you look into her details and she's part of the WEF as well. So the World Economic Forum, she's among other things that she does, that's one of the things she's involved in. And we often wonder, you know, how can these people that seem to want to change the whole world survive and jet set to where they go? And, you know, it must be hard being them. But I guess when you've got an income of $32 million a year, it's, you know, you manage to eke out your existence pretty well. Now, Mr. Chalmers is not alone in his ability to try and tell people that he's doing them good. We've also got Rachel Reeves, who's the UK Chancellor of the Exchequer. And she's suffered a bit of a problem as well because her economic policies are not viewed very well. When she got in, there was a promise that we're going to change all this, we're going to fix things. And I think she had about a 66% dissatisfaction rating with the public. It's gone up to 71% now. And the disapproval rating of 71% for the whole of UK doesn't do you well when you're the treasurer of a country, does it? She promised it was going to be a one-off. And since then, of course, she's struggled. And there's been, I think, 0.1% growth in the third quarter of this year. So I don't know what she's going to use to spin to make it sound as though she's doing the job. But you know, Jim maybe should take a leaf out of her book and wonder whether he's going to get that sort of approval rating too, because I can't see too many people who are going to be agree that the wages that he's said the, you know, pretty good are going to change much. The other part of the bomb blowout, or the upgrade of the bomb, I've seen a number of countries around the world who are upgrading their systems in regard to their weather patterns and weather forecasting. And it's been mentioned on other platforms, the colouring, for instance, of the UK and the European weather forecast. There's a lot more red now than there ever used to be. It's a bit of a psychological thing, because if you look at a weather map and you see things that look dangerous or look alarming, you'll think it's alarming. And if we're going in for a catastrophic climate change that we're all got to, you know, put our hand in our pockets and pay a tax to get rid of with net zero, then what better way to do it than to convince you that there's something going on? And what better way to convince people than to see something on the screen when the weather's going on? And hell, it looks a lot worse because there's a lot more red on there than there ever used to be. These upgrades don't just go for the physical side of it, like the colour and the presentation. There's also the way they upgrade their readings, the changes they're making. There's a lot going on behind the scenes, so that what figure we have today or in the last few years that they have upgraded won't be directly recognisable when compared to figures of yesteryear. So if someone wants to do their own research and go back and have a look at the bomb data or any other weather data, they can go back and look. But it will be harder for them now to decipher what was the case and what is the case, because they do no longer match like they used to. It's a loss of continuity of description, I suppose, or presentation. And that's one of the ways with which people can manipulate you. It can, you know, psychological manipulation, which is what it is. So we're seeing all sorts of things happening like that. They're just some of the interesting points. I know one of the other things that I've seen too, which have just popped up on my feed a occasionally, has been a pushback against what I see as some one-liners or some points that you can make to highlight the problems that we've got. And one of those with the monetary system, for instance, is the fact that if we look at every nation, and every nation's competing to export to every other nation and, you know, earn their money and get themselves out of debt, when you look at the big picture, the whole world is in debt. And how can that be, and who do they owe it to? And that should be enough to start you questioning and asking, what's going on? Does our financial system really work properly? And who's behind it? Is there someone behind it? Why would you allow it to continue when you know it's wrong? But we continue to fritter around with inflation and interest rates and try and manage the system as best we can while continually increasing the debt the world over. Now, two articles have come up. They're both AI. And I'm thinking to myself, gee, this is unusual. One is a chap named Wolf. And the second one is Yanis Varoufakis. I don't know if that's the right way to pronounce it, but since it's AI made, it is fake. So I think Fakis is probably pretty appropriate. And I believe the other one is also AI as well. It certainly seems to dissociate itself in its text from the actual person. So, but they're talking about who is every nation in debt to, because the whole world is in debt. Now, that being one of the comebacks that I've made many times, it sort of sparked an interest. Because if the whole world's in debt, who the heck's it in debt to, and how do we get out of it? Can we ever get out of it? And the answer to that, of course, is we can't, because it's not a real debt. Why do I say that? Because if every world is in debt, there's no way anybody can get out of it, because there's not enough money in existence to pay for it. If there's not enough money in existence to pay for it, where is it? You know, it's got to boggle your mind. It's got to make you start questioning the facts. And because we've asked this question a number of times, I'm thinking that the people out there who want to explain it away in current fiscal terms are making little podcasts to explain it, and they're trying to put the onus for the debt back onto the average person, because we're allowing our governments to create that debt. Now, the governments continually tell us that they're in debt, and, you know, they've borrowed from this and we have to pay it back, and there's always a reason why they have to raise taxes or why we have to have austerity measures. And that needs to be countered. That needs to be spoken about, and we need to try and use our black magic of financial speak to tell you why it's happening, but not give you a true reason for it. This one here, I think, is by, can I see it? That's the Wolf one. Again, I'm not too sure what his name actually was. Mind to Free, I think he is. Yeah, okay. That's the website. And he'll go through and he'll basically say that, yes, it's a bit of a house of cards and this is how it works, and it will work as long as you've got belief in it. And, you know, if everybody just keeps believing, we'll be fine. It'll happen if we just believe hard enough. If we close our eyes and wish, it'll work. We shouldn't have to close our eyes and wish for the monetary system to work. It should be a representation of the real world, because the real world will work. And if it's not a representation of the real world, if it is out there in fairyland, why are we still using it? And why can't we change it and make it represent the real world? Money is a system like any other system that we've created, and having been made by man, can be fixed by man and made to represent the real world in a much better way. The reasoning behind why they wish us to believe that it's our fault, or wish us to believe that it's close your eyes and, you know, it'll all be fine, is because it's a method of control. And being a method of control, it's probably one of the most perfect methods of control they've ever made. We can look carefully at all the controls that they can tend to put on us, whether it's restrictions by law or whether it's simply convention that they say we shouldn't be doing this. Money is something everybody uses. Money is something that we must use to interact with everybody else. So if you can control the money supply, you don't have to do anything other than that to put people in slavery. So yeah, these things are popping up. There'll be bits and pieces that you'll see on your feed to tell you reasons behind many things that you may think are unusual or a bit strange. You've got to be very careful with what you see and what you find presented to you. You've got to think very carefully about what they're telling you, because you can go through all that and probably won't understand all of the terminology they're using, because they certainly make it sound difficult. But the reality is, at the end of it, it doesn't work. And because the average Joe Blow on the street has nothing to do with it, has no real input into it, he's just living his general life, we're the ones that are affected by it. And we're expected to believe that those who are higher up and actually running it will keep it running. We just got to close our eyes and wish it away. If we just must believe. I'm trying to think of the film that is just believe, cross your fingers and the fairies will come back to life if you wish hard enough. I see the world debt like that. It is just what they want you to believe, that everything will be fine. We've seen a drop in Bitcoin. We've seen a drop in a lot of the markets as well. There's money being lost hand over fist for those who have decided to put their money in Bitcoin, in the hope that they'll be able to survive the coming crash or the coming downturn. I just say, be very wary about what you put your stuff into, because, again, it's a fictitious, it's a belief. This whole, I'm going to put it here, it'll be safe, and you're starting to see it crumble now. I don't want to seem like a doomsday person or someone who was trying to give a negative view necessarily. I just want you to see the realities of the system. If they are telling you that it's your fault, these two particular episodes in particular, then there's no one else to blame for it. I find that very difficult to believe. In both of those talks, they talk about the Bank of London and the Federal Reserve in America as if they were government-owned, and they are not. They are private entities. And they sort of blame the government on creating the amount of debt to keep the economies going, because if the government hasn't got money, how else does the money come into the system? So the government must create it as a debt, and they ask their banks to do it. Well, it's not their bank, it's a private bank. And they create that money, and they expect it paid back in real terms. Now, they've created it out of nothing to start with, and they admit that in the two podcasts that I'm mentioning. They admit that they create money out of thin air, out of nothing, with nothing behind it. But in another breath, saying that it must be repaid, and it can only be repaid in real terms. I think that's a very good sleight of hand if you can get away with it. You can offer, here's a belief that you can actually do a job. So you go to see somebody and they say, I'm just wondering whether I can actually do this job. I don't know what you might think it is. I want to concrete a small area on my patio. I think I can do it. Can I have some money to do it, or can I have your permission to do it? And so, yeah, of course you can have permission to do it. So, you ring up the supplier and say, yep, he's got my permission, you can go ahead. So you do all those things and he manages to do the job. And then at the end, well, I'd like my money back. Well, you didn't give me any money. It was just a permission to do it, but you want to own the actual object that's been made. Now, I may not be making myself super clear on that. It's a hard concept to get around sometimes, even for myself, when I'm trying to do it on the fly. I'm not the best at doing this without a script, but what I'm trying to get through here is the fact that these things will be put for you. There will be a solution put forward, and you need to look at the people putting the solution forward. if they are blaming the general public and they're on a huge salary and basically not living in the real world, then that's a bit of a red flag. Where else are we? I was going to talk also a little about who we are, the Australian League of Rights. It's a service organisation, and we try to a group that gives information or allows people to understand that there's information out there that can solve many of the problems that we have. There's a lot of disinformation out there, and a lot of material that is easy to believe because it's presented in such a way that you wonder. You wonder whether it's true or not. And with the rise of the media not telling the truth all the time, you start to be left with less and less things you can rely upon. We have libraries here of books that go back a long time that have been on point with all of the issues that are raised, and we offer those for educational purposes so that you can understand a bit about what's behind some of these issues that we're facing at the moment, such as the debt issue. One of those issues, as I said, creates the money out of nothing and was created as a debt. Those two podcasts that I mentioned both mention that they acknowledge that it's created out of thin air. My question is, why is it created as debt? And when you realize the purpose of money, and that is one of the probably the most crucial points, when you realize the actual purpose of money is to just buy and sell production or to interact with each other, then Douglas Social Credit is a way around that. There's a huge number of books there for whatever side of the money system you want to talk about or whatever impact the money system may have on different things. It's available to browse. You can look at, there's one by Douglas here, Dictatorship by Taxation. And it explains the way that they use taxes to limit us, the way they can continue to raise taxes, such as, for instance, climate change. Let's have a carbon credits. Let's bring net zero in and we'll start putting a carbon tax on everything to solve a problem, which I think by now people know is not as bad as they may make it. There are other books as well in the same area about economic articles and the causes of war. Most things are financial system lead to the causes of war because we end up in a trade war, and then we start to try and find ways to get our money from debt, get out of debt, so it does lead to conflict. So in that, there's a lot of material that's available, and I would ask you to, you know, take your time to come online and have a look and see what is there. Pick a book or two at random, have a bit of a look, and try and get an idea of what it is that you want to know about. If you've got a question, you're more than welcome to put it forward to us. And we will endeavour to link you to the right article or chat with you to try and show you what's going on. I'm seeing a lot of people putting out podcasts. There's different groups all over the internet mentioning issues that are problems to us. Whether it's 9/11, whether it's the war that's currently going on in Ukraine. It doesn't matter. People are talking about things, which is good. You've just got to be a little bit careful that you don't get so sidetracked by some of the issues they're talking about that you're not looking at the bigger picture. And I think the bigger picture is the fact that we are subject to more and more control. And how we get out of that is understanding civics, understanding how your system of government works, understanding what your responsibility is to your country that you live in, and what your responsibility is to make sure that your government functions effectively. And this means contacting your local members. This means participating in the political process. This means being active in the community and making others aware when something is not right. So general purpose of civics, we used to get taught at school. I certainly wasn't taught it. It was gone by the time I got to school, and that was quite a while ago. But I know others who did. I think perhaps it's a good starting point to start to learn what civics is, what it's to be. And if you can find an old copy of something, it's probably the new ones, because they understood a bit more and they wrote without prejudice. Walter Merck has several articles here, very big files on Walter Murdoch now, thanks to Daniel Criddle, who managed to get into the West Australian Murdoch Library and photocopy and digitise all of the Murdoch Library, which was like his personal library. And Murdoch himself was very interested in social credit and a big supporter of it. And since the League is a social credit movement, that is what we're about, then Walter Murdoch himself has some interesting things to say about giving the people money. It's one of his books. It's a good start. But I find most Murdoch stuff very nice, very interesting to read. He wrote a lot of essays, a lot of short essays. He actually had a piece in the paper over there on a regular basis as well. But some people understand the situation, and some people are naturally what I would call natural social creditors. And it's interesting to read the things that they write, because a view to me shows what I see as the view for Australia, and what most people would have seen as the view for Australia 40 or 50 years ago. And that's what we've got to understand. We need to decide what our view for Australia is, what we would like to see, and how the best way to go about getting it is. And that's civics. That's involvement in government, involvement in politics. Not necessarily politicking, but at least in parliamentary representation, so that your voice, your community's voice, can be heard within parliament. And I think that's the crux of the matter. How you go about that is up to you, but there are many ways to do so. The other chap would be Cresby, who was a Labor member for some time. Labor, I'm not too sure, actually. Arthur Cresby, he was certainly a constitutional person. He's got three books there, How to Get What You Want. There's some letters from him, and also a small book called Your Will Be Done, which is also a very good book to read to understand some of the implications of what it means to be an Australian and what your responsibilities are in the political sphere. I think that's about all I've got for today. I just urge you to take the time to read and to understand and to broaden your knowledge on what's going on. There's always something happening. I think it's important that we keep tabs on what's happening and try and work out, try to see what the reality is behind it. When Jim Chalmers says that wages have risen, what does it really mean? Is it something that we should vote for him because he's gone and made our wages better? Or do we look at the whole economy and say, well, why are you boasting about that when the actual costs have risen far more than wages have? And again, it's a financial issue. If the finances were issued in the right way, if we're actually functioning in the correct way under social credit terms, then these problems wouldn't exist. The real purpose of money, of course, is to trade amongst ourselves. If we have plenty of wealth, if we have real wealth, I'm talking here, if we have plenty of food, we have resources, and we have the ability to do it, the knowledge, then there's a reason why we can't do it. It is financially, what is physically possible should be financially possible. All right. So thank you for listening today. We will see how we go with the next show next week. Have a good time.
This country's not going to be saved from the top, because that's where all the rot is. It's too deep. It's going to be saved from the grassroots.